It's been so many months that we've been on our study together of spiritual manifestations as listed in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that I wanted to do a little brief outline review because we're getting near the end of those and we're going to start a new one in the list today, but I wanted to go back and talk about how there are 9 listed and the categories that they're placed in. And always remember that they're spiritual manifestations, not spiritual gifts, plural. And the reason for that is because we already have the gift that was given, and that's the Holy Spirit. So what you see in the life of a person, as listed in these scriptures, is the manifestation of the Spirit, how He makes Himself known or shown. And I know that sometimes gifts and manifestations are interchanged, but the thing about the major difference is sticking strictly with the scriptures. I don't like to stray away from that. If Paul used all down through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit, and if he used the word manifestation of the Spirit, that's how I also choose to present it, not as gifts, but as manifestations, because that's very different. People get jealous in the body of Christ over the different gifts, and you wouldn't think that they would, but they do. Oh, I wish I had so-and-so's gift, and instead of focusing on what you have and learning to be effective in releasing that. Don't look at others and compare yourself, because each one is unique, created by the Lord. But I want to go back to the 3 different groups. There's the revelation manifestations, and that's word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. This is the order that they were written in the text. And each one of those is a revelation manifestation, how God manifests a revelation or an understanding or an enlightenment to us through a word of wisdom, which pertains to a future event, a word of knowledge, which is current, and discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is really important, because if we don't know the particular spirit that we're dealing with, we can make, I don't want to say make a serious mistake in lashing out at something that wasn't responsible. That's really important. We've covered all of those things, but it's been so long I wanted to show you the 3 categories. Then there's the vocal manifestations. The Holy Spirit uses your vocal cords. You have to do the speaking, but He imparts to you what to speak through prophecy, through tongues, or interpretation of tongues. Those are all vocal manifestations, as the Spirit gives us the utterance, if you will. And now, the last 3 are the power manifestations. Healings, and it's plural, the word is plural in the text, so I took a lot of time to go through a lot of various ways that healing is manifested, using the scriptures as our example. They're not all the same. Not every healing is instantaneous. Some are, some are not. But that's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. He chooses. It's not our choice. And that's a big, important difference to make. If I had my way, they'd all be miracles. They'd be instant right now. But that's not my call. I always believe it's going to be right now. But it isn't always, and that's just a very factual truth. Miracles, that's where we're going to be today. I want to introduce this next segment about miracles, what they are, what they're not, and look to the scriptures for our examples. And the last one will be the manifestation of faith. It takes faith for us to believe anything of the Lord, but there is a manifestation of faith that is on a very different plane than just saying that we have faith. So the working of miracles, what it is not so-called miracles of science. This manifestation is not what some call miracles of science. Silence, yeah, that's a miracle sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to imagine how loud the quiet is. Oh, do you ever wish for a miracle of silence?
Yes.
just be still. Natural science is not a supernatural miracle. It is natural man using natural intellect to deal with natural laws, the laws of nature. Modern medical science, as great as it is produced by natural brains and has nothing to do with the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which is known as the working of miracles. Now, it's very true that the Holy Spirit can impart wisdom and revelation and understanding, but the miracle is not accomplished by the physician or any natural means. The list that Paul gives us is the miracle is accomplished by the Holy Spirit. And that's how biblically miracles happen. What it is signs and wonders as recorded in the scriptures. And that's always, you always have to remember that the word is our foundation. That's the one source of truth that we can all come to. And anything that we see or talk about must come back to the Word. Is it founded in the Word?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find, like Mark 16, 17 through 20, remember I read from the chapter that's not supposed to be there in your Bible, but it is. And it says, and these signs and wonders will follow them that believe in my name. See, it's a miracle that a demonic spirit has to leave in the name of Jesus. The natural man can't try that. Ask the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts. There were seven of them, and these demons thrashed those guys terrible, beat them half to death, stripped them off of their clothes, and left them for dead because they tried to deal with something spiritual in the natural. They tried to work a miracle in the natural, and they neglected the source of the power. Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? That's what the Spirit spoke. The demons spoke to him. It is always supernatural and contrary to nature. It is used to confirm the Word of God preached by God's servants. God works miracles to build faith in His Word. Miracles accomplish God's divine will. Miracles are performed to deliver people in danger, to perform judgments upon those who interfere with His work, to calm storms, to cast out demons, to bind up broken hearts, to deliver the captives, and to deliver people from natural stubbornness and rebellion so they may receive the Holy Ghost. Miracles cause people to be saved. We can't save ourselves, it's the work of the Spirit. And it's a miracle, the new birth. That's not a natural birth, that comes first. But the miracle birth is when the Spirit is born again. Denying miracles does not get people saved. God's miracles can never be explained or understood by human reasoning or thinking. They are instantaneous manifestations. Anyone who has read or studied the Bible for themselves will be confronted with the fact that it is filled with miracles from cover to cover, both in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Miracles are very normal for God. There are 92 miracles recorded in the Old Testament, and we'll look up only a few, and there are 54 miracles recorded in the New Testament, and we will look at some of those as well and glean some things out of them. So I want to go back to what it is. Miracles accomplish God's divine will. Miracles are performed to deliver people in danger. And I hadn't really, in the beginning of my faith walk, understood a lot about miracles, except that they were supernatural. They're not something that's caused by a natural. They're not natural. And I was thinking about the first time I went to India. And I brought all these tracts in Christian literature for Pastor Sherrard, whom I hadn't met yet. And I got to the airport in Bombay. That was my first stop. And I'd gotten through security here in the States, and I got over there and found out, my God, you got to go through security again, and they won't let you out of the place. And I had all of the stuff. And knowing that India was basically a Hindu and Muslim nation, I was concerned about all the Christian literature that I was carrying. Now I'm on their shores, if you will. And what was going to happen if I got caught with all that stuff? I've read a lot about what happens in China. I've read a lot about what happens in Thailand, because I began to study before I went Mideastern and Far East parts of the world, where you can be severely injured, even put to death for carrying such things into a country that is not a Christian country. You can't just walk in with the Bible. So I was concerned about that, and after I was out processing, because I had to catch another flight that connected me to Bangalore, where Pastor Shrek was going to pick me up. But outside the airport, out on the steps, there were shuttle buses that you had to take to go to a domestic airport for that next flight. And out there they had all of these police, airport police and local police, and they were searching everybody's personal bags, your carry-on bag. And right away I clutched mine a little tighter and thought, oh my goodness, I got enough stuff in here to save everybody in India if they just read it. But I said, gosh, what's going to happen when they get to mine? And I was in a big long line, and nobody escaped that line. Anyone that had a bag, they had to stop. And everything was dumped out on these big tables, and they were going through everything, up every passenger. And the closer I got, that really began to eat inside of me of what's going to happen. What are they going to do? And I was confronted with something that I never had to deal with concerning any place I'd ever been before. And my legs began to shake a little bit, because as the line got nearer and nearer and it was my turn to go before them, I kept watching ahead of me to see if I could figure out any pattern. Did they let a few go and only just do? No, every person, every bag. And when it was my turn, this gentleman came to me and he said, go to the bus. I walked right past all those tables and all of those police, like they saw squat diddly, no thing, nothing, nada. You betcha. How did that happen? You only read about it in missionary books. And I sat on the bus, and I watched all the other people. This process continued, because there are more than 350 passengers on a 747 jumbo jet, so I still had a lot of waiting before the buses departed for the domestic airport that was going to take me to the next flight. And I sat on that bus, and I watched person after person, person after person. No one got through those guys, except me. And I really encountered a first on-the-spot miracle other than my salvation, but something that was so profoundly unnatural. How was it that they didn't see the bag? I was carrying it on my shoulder, right out in the open, just like everybody else.
Their eyes were blinded.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But you see, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about miracles that confound those that are so gifted in wisdom. They can't figure it out. It never happened again. Not, I've gone 14 times now, and those things have never happened again. But that very first time it did. And I began to realize that it was God's will that I brought those things, and He did a miracle to enable me to get that material there for the ultimate purpose of evangelism in all those little villages over all these years. But it took the first time getting those things there, so that each time I would go back, they were already there, and I could just pick up and go from that. And that was really good. And like I said, there are a lot of miracles recorded in the scriptures, and I think one of the first ones that's so exciting to read about was God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites. And do you know, to this day, archaeologists that's a biggie, have discovered the wheels in the sand underneath the Red Sea, where Pharaoh's chariot had the wheels ripped off that sucker, and they were left for later generations to find to confirm that miracle. And you can read about that in Genesis 14, and we will next week, because I'd like us to read the scriptures together, because when it's one thing for us to talk about it, but when you really see it as inspired by the Holy Spirit, as the words are written, Genesis 14, verses 21 and 22. That's the scripture reference. I'm going to put a marker in it for next week, so I won't have to look for it then. I'll have it already there. But it is a wonderful, wonderful testimony of how God delivered His people from Pharaoh, the lion, two-tongued rascal he was, and how this miracle happened. 21, verses 21 and 22 of chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to yourself. And Aaron said to the king of Sodom, I lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. That can't be the reference. 21 and 22. Abram's unselfishness. We haven't got that far. I made a mistake my first day back, and you still want me to come back next week? Surely you jest. No. I've erred in my scripture reference. Isn't that exciting? Because now you have to look for it to prove me wrong. And that's when we all find it. I'm going to have a look. We're close. Twenty-one and twenty-two. You are right. Who said that? Excellent. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Can you imagine what Moses must have said when God told him that? Oh, Exodus. Exodus 14, not Genesis. And how he might have had a yeah, right moment. I don't know if he did or not. I did in Africa. Not that lady and her deaf ear. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. So there's several miracles. Not only did the water go backward, it just kept piling up higher and higher and higher and higher. And the wind blew and dried out all the land under that water. And so that all of them, not only all the human traffic, but all their sheep, their goats, their possessions, everything that they carried, their livestock, all crossed on dry land. Yes, Barb.
When I was doing that years ago, it says the water congealed, it became as ice. And when the Lord gave me my own personal, when I was going through something, I could smell the water and I could feel the cool air and I could see those waters standing directly upright. And there have been people who have tried to research that to disprove it, and they say that the crossing happened at the smallest or the shortest part of the river.
Yeah, like a land bridge area.
Right, yeah. And it's scripturally incorrect. It happened at the widest part of the river, so it was truly a miracle.
Yes.
Truly a miracle.
And so this book is full of them. And if we looked at all 92, because I had a list, they're in the middle of my Bible. They list all of the miracles that have been found. And it's just phenomenal that we would have any difficulty believing God for anything after you read what he's done. It's simply incredible. And a lot of times people don't believe in miracles until they need one. Then, you know, it's supernatural. Mm-hmm. They couldn't build anything that would hold back the sea. People try sea walls. Tsunamis come and wipe a whole village off the face of the map. Sea walls and all. Yes, Genevieve.
It's funny that this is up here. This morning I had on the radio station Lynn Hinton's sermon, and it was about the boy. He went to church, and when he got home, the mother asked him what he learned. He says it was about Moses. He built a bridge across the Red Sea. And all the men got across the Red Sea, and then he put dynamite on the bridge. And the mother says, "That isn't really what you learned, is it?" And he said, "No, but you wouldn't have believed it."
It's because of you, Priscilla.
I was going to say, in verse 25, it says, "He made the wheels of the chariots come off."
Yep. And they found them. Yep. Can imagine after all these years, God leaves things like little cookie crumbs along the way that if you follow him back, you'll come back to him.
That's the way people can believe.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So I'm going to leave that one there because we're just getting started, but at least I learned what the right scripture reference was. So that's a good thing. But it's good to see the characteristics of our Heavenly Father and how we can truly say that nothing is too difficult for him. And just, we can't look at circumstances. We have to take our stand no matter what things look like. And we're taught that from the Word, because otherwise if we don't, we can start wavering and get into unbelief. So no matter what things look like, we have to take our stand. Anyone that we didn't pray for this morning earlier? Need prayer to